Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction. We come to you every weekday to give you a little bit of help and a little bit of hope on your journey of faith, helping you discern how the Holy Spirit is leading you in your life. Great to have all of you with us on the program today. Let's say hello to our spiritual director back with us once again, Monsignor Charles Pope. Monsignor is the pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Church in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Monsignor Charles Pope, welcome back to The Inner Life. How are you?
Fine, Chuck. Thanks a lot. I'm doing great. And I was kidding earlier. I'm feeling lonely. I'm not feeling lonely at all. But I'm sitting here all alone in my room waiting to hear from you and from many others.
And he says that because we're going to talk about loneliness today on The Inner Life. And as we do every day, we'll open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us on the program. We hope some of you may say yes to that invitation. But, Monsignors, you know, we like to start this hour with an opening prayer. Can we take a moment here and ask you to lead that for us?
Yes, Lord, we do pray. All of us experience loneliness from time to time. And there are some who, for them, loneliness is a sort of gnawing, almost ever-present reality. Lord, please help all of us to be more aware of your presence. We are never alone, and you sustain every fiber of our being, and help us to come more and more to the normal Christian life of being in living conscious contact with you at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director on the program today. We'll open up our phone line, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, 877-766-3777, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We are going to talk about loneliness today, and we'll also segue that into friendship. And we're talking about true friendships today. But here's your question in our listening audience. When do you or when have you felt lonely? And then what did you do about that? And as we talk about friendship, think about that one or maybe two really true trusted friends. Who do you turn to in the difficult times of your life? Again, toll-free number, 877-766-3777. Monsignor, you talked about that gnawing, ever-present loneliness, and I just find it so interesting because it seems that we all deal with it to some degree, but I wonder if we actually talk about it or actually share it with somebody else. And so I guess my question to you as a priest, do you hear us talk about our loneliness?
Not that often. I do hear it, but not as often as you might expect. And I think part of the answer to the question of why is that we don't talk about a lot of things. We live in very unreflective times. People are rushing here and there. And one of the paradoxes of our busy, frantic lives is loneliness. You'd think more than any generation before us, we wouldn't be lonely. We have, you know, we can get on a plane, go anywhere. We can get in our car. We have all these things available to us. And not only that, but social media. And you'd think all of these things would just evaporate loneliness. But it's sometimes the opposite, which is that our lives become 1,000 miles wide, but only 2 inches thick. So they become broader, but more shallow. And so this is where I think a lot of people struggle with a loneliness that isn't maybe as obvious as when you're alone on a farm in the middle of the, you know, out in the farm belt, and there's nobody for miles before telephones and radios and things. But it's more subtle, but a very gnawing loneliness.
Yeah, one of my notes to myself this morning was prepping for the program. We deal with our loneliness alone, don't we?
Yeah, it's funny how you'd think the most instinctive thing would be to pick up the phone and call somebody, but you're right, we're almost embarrassed to say we're lonely or what have you, and it makes us feel needy, and we don't want other people always to see our neediness.
Well, and then our loneliness, I mean, the reality is, I think, it turns us back into ourselves, doesn't it?
Yeah, that terrible tendency that comes, first of all, from sin. You know, St. Augustine described the human person as curvatus in se, turned in on himself, and God wants to turn us out, but that's a process. And we have other, you know, sinful drives like selfishness and greed and so on that help, you know, build that up. And then, so on top of all those things, you know, we have these the sinful drives. And then on top of that, we have, I think, the hurts. And we all instinctively know that relationships are hard. Real relationships, you know, are hard. And they require things of us. And so sometimes, again, in our busy schedules, people instinctively draw back. And refrain from entering into deeper relationships. And all of this contributes to that sense of loneliness.
Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director on The Inner Life today, talking about loneliness, and we'll be talking about friendships today as well. But if you'd like to join us on the program, toll-free number 877-766-3777, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And, you know, when have you, in our listening audience, when have you experienced that loneliness that you don't really want to deal with? But if you'd like to join us, spend some time with Monsignor Charles Pope, toll-free number 877-766-3777. I want to revisit this paradox you talked about, because it's so incredible when you think about so many friends, thousands of friends on Facebook. We can tweet whatever we're thinking literally to people all over the world, and then we walk around in this little bubble of loneliness, and it's a great paradox, isn't it?
Yes, and as I say, just the word paradox, you know, it means basically something contrary to what you would obviously think or what was most often thought of, but busy is not the same numbers, and, you know, busyness is not the same as depth. And really what we're looking for is a depth to relationships with ourselves, with others, I should say, with fellow human beings, but also with God. And so much of this also impacts our prayer life, because if we don't know or model deep relationships with fellow human beings, it's going to be a lot harder, not impossible, but a lot harder to really find a deep relationship with God.
Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director. Let's take our first break, talking today about loneliness, and also we'll get into friendships. If you'd like to join us on the program, toll-free phone number 877-766-3777. We'll take a break. It's a short one. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Your faith.
And our Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, dedicated to bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. For more information, you can go to catholicforester.org or our website, relevantradio.com, keyword COF. Hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life. If you're just tuning in today, Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director, Monsignor, pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Church in Washington, D.C., talking today about loneliness, and we're going to also get into friendship and what that really means. But as we talk about loneliness, if you'd like to join us, again, toll-free number 877-766-3777, our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But when do you or when have you felt lonely? And for you and our listening audience, what do you do about that? And sometimes we wallow in it. I do it. I know you probably do it as well, but if you'd like to join us on the program, again, toll-free number 877-766-3777. So, Monsignor, when we talk about loneliness, what are some of the causes of our loneliness?
Yeah, I mentioned a few of them a little earlier. I mean, maybe just start with our own personal inner issues, you know, in terms of sin. You know, we do struggle, I think, with a little bit of greed and selfishness, which tends to make relationships then something of a matter of some fear to us. We think, well, we might have to acquiesce some of our time or power or resources. You know, there's a lot of people who fear making any commitments or committals today, whether to marriage or to, you know, joining groups or to just you know, going out with friends and so on. So there can be some of that. There is this kind of plugged-in culture, you know, which encourages that, which basically says, let me just listen to my iPod and just not, you know, relate with other people and just make my own little stovepipe world and live inside of it. So we have, but I think the fear comes, and then, you know, it was Sartre who said that hell is other people. So there's been a kind of a, decline in our culture in terms of our ability to know how much we need and really depend on other people. And the so-called self-made man and, that people just get in my way and all of those sorts of things today, which sometimes technology in our culture permits a little bit more of than in the past. Now, we also see that as we start to move, you know, I think from more personal struggles, we move into the sociological things, the demise of our families. I mean, where do we learn deeper relationships and friendships, if not from siblings and parents? But with the family's demise, and with small families, even when there's an intact family, they're much smaller, we find it's harder to learn a lot of the social skills in our early years that help us to form lasting friendships in life. And there's also, sadly today, with all the hypersexualization, there's frankly suspicion of friendship, especially if there are friendships between a man and a woman, or even these days, you know, with now with this whole homosexual, you know, coming out of, there's a suspicion just of close friendships in general, and people don't know how to navigate some of those suspicions and just form good lasting friendships that have nothing to do with sexual intimacy per se, but just a more general intimacy that friendship is. And then on top of that, you had all the other sociological dimensions we've also mentioned, that we're in a mobile culture. People move around a lot. They don't live in the same place that they were born generally for long. There's all kinds of, we're busy, we're quick, and we have kind of a soundbite culture, real quick, and there's no real depth that's encouraged.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes, you talked earlier a little bit about, you know, you don't hear us, the people in the pew, so to speak, talking about loneliness. And I wonder sometimes if maybe we don't label it, or we don't recognize that we're actually lonely, but we know something's not right, that something's not going the way we want it to. And so we start looking for things. We start looking for the things in our life. You know, that new car is going to make me feel happy and thus lonely. And I wonder, back to, it's probably whatever the old song is, looking for love in all the wrong places, but that we don't recognize it. And so we start to try to find our self-worth and whatever we're looking for in the things of our life.
Yeah, certainly a very, very good insight. It's and that's probably another factor that even fuels this, because there are so many, quote, things available to us in the consumerist culture today, so many diversions. But they're not going to get us through the more difficult things in life. You know, I think that every now and again, when, you know, someone's really troubled by something, do you have some people you can pick up the phone and call and talk to and know they're really going to, you know, be part of your life? And what we begin to do with this problem of loneliness is we have to learn how to build friendships. And a friend isn't just the same as an acquaintance. A friend is someone who knows just about everything about you, you know, and there's a depth and a history to the relationship. Scripture often distinguishes, you know, and it says, you know, in Ecclesiastes, woe to the solitary man, for if he should fall, he has no one to lift him up. So, again, we need to have some people we can turn to in really difficult moments, who know about us and care about us and can see us through even the more difficult aspects of our personality and help us. But it also distinguishes between acquaintances and friends. You know, let your acquaintances be many, says the book of Sirach, but your advisors, your close advisors, be one in a thousand. So we have to be careful for those close friends that we select. But all of us need some people on this planet, a small in number, but who know everything about us.
Well, and then is that the answer then to the question, what can we do when we're lonely? Turn to those friendships that are deep. I love that image of you're using here in terms of the depth of our relationships. Is that the key?
Yeah, I mean, this is the part of the normal human life, let alone the normal Christian life, which is that we develop deep and lasting friendships, which can have ups and downs and so on. But at the end of the day, there are, all of us, just at the human level, really need those deeper relationships to get us through. Mm-hmm. A priest friend of mine ran a clinic for those with psychological and mental disturbances, and it was actually an inpatient, it was a hospital. And one of the first questions he would ask as he would interview incoming patients or clients, he would say, well, who are your close friends? And he'd kind of get a lot of blank stares, and They would talk about, you know, various people, but he said, well, why do you call him a close friend? And, you know, again, a close friend is someone who knows just about everything about you. And a lot of blank stares. So just at the human level, we have a hard time navigating and having our personality properly formed by just surfacey relationships. We really need those deep relationships to properly form us humanly. And then to avoid things like mental health issues and so on, and those idiosyncrasies that can see, you know, become make us a little bit sociopathic. So I don't mean to go on too long with this, but I want to just say that at the human level, we need deep friendships and relationships. And a deep and a close friend can tell you, hey my friend, you're wrong here, and get away with it.
Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director. Let's take a phone call for you, Monsignor. Loretta, listening in Elgin, Illinois, welcome to the program. Good to have you on the Inner Life today.
Hi, thank you. I also I'm taking another turn and being lonely, and I don't think we're going to truly be happy or at peace until we are with God. People can make us happy. Things can make us happy so that we're not lonely or discouraged. But I don't think that we are truly, truly going to find peace and contentment until we're with God. You know, the more you can have a few friends and I know you, you know, backwards and forwards and up and down and everything, but there's still something that's not there. I don't know what it is. I have a few friends that you know my very next move and can really tell, you know, what I'm going to do or how I'm going to act. But at the same time, I thought, yeah, they know me, but they don't really know me.
Now, I think you're striking a good balance or a call for balance here. We want to be clear that no human being can ever take the place of God. Our hearts are wired and summoned to God, and only God can fill the God-sized hole in our heart. That's the one side of the balance. But the other side, again, of course, is that in this life, God does put us in human relationships for the very purpose of better forming our heart so that we can be more deeply rooted in Him. And of course, we learn about the faith from others. We are social by nature. The faith doesn't just fall out of the sky, you know, into our heart. As I know you would agree, it comes to us from others. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing requires someone to preach and teach us. So this is so there's going to be this balance, and they're going to relate to each other in a positive way, which is that to the degree that my human relationships are healthy and challenging and helping to form me humanly, I am therefore then more open to hear God and to be more deeply rooted in Him. And likewise, to the degree that my life is more deeply rooted in God and the things of God and my values and my views have become clearly rooted in Him, I become more healthy and more able to engage in good, healthy relationships with human beings. So it's a beautiful two-way street that God intends. And I think that's what I hear you saying, that we want to remember that ultimately only God can fully satisfy, but there is going to be this requirement to have good, healthy human relationships too.
Yeah. Loretta, thank you for the phone call. We're going to hit our bottom of the hour break and talking with Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director, talking about loneliness, but we're also going to talk some more about, you know, true friendships, what that really means. So we'll just pause here for just a few minutes, and then we'll continue with more phone calls. And if you want to email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But let me ask you in our listening audience, as we talk about loneliness and friendship today, when do you or when have you felt lonely, and what did you do about that? And then when we come back, we're going to talk more directly about those trusted, true friends. Who is that for you? Toll free if you'd like to be on the program with us, 877-766-3777. We'll take a break. Stay with us. More of The Inner Life right after these messages.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors, 877-766-3777. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life. I'm Chuck Neff, along with our producer Tim Mersch and Sarah Tafoya, screening your phone calls today. Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director. Monsignor joining us from Washington, D.C., where he is pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Church, talking today about loneliness and friendship. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us, 877-766-3777, and our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And, what do you do with your loneliness? And then who are those friends walk with you on your journey of faith, that know you and are really those true, trusted friends that you can turn to in the difficult times, in the lonely times of your life? Again, toll free if you'd like to join us on the program, 877-766-3777. Monsignor, let's head back to the phones. An anonymous caller on line six, you're up next. Thanks for the call. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on the radio. Thank you for all your good works. Monsignor, I was just commenting on loneliness. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous. And sometimes we could have like 10 or 12 people around us, and we're still feeling that loneliness, because I come from a family of 14 brothers and sisters. And when my mother, my brother, my husband passed away, like 5 months after each one, it was very, very hard for us. Mm-hmm. And loneliness was always there, always there. But, you know, I know Jesus, like John Paul, that's my favorite saint, St. John Paul II. He said, don't be afraid. Jesus is always near you.
Amen. Well, you know, I want to say that you're raising an important issue, which is that some people think they can flee loneliness by running into a crowd or by going and getting married or joining the priesthood or religious life. You know, there's going to be any number of possible solutions, but at the end of the day, loneliness is really an inside problem, and it's an inside job. We need to, one of the things I remember in seminary formation, they asked us to try to ask the Lord for and to move toward, was a certain contentment, because in the priesthood, we're not going to have the kind of intimacy at the family level that some enjoy, but that we would have some contentment with solitude, and likewise in being in a group, in a crowd, because we're both public figures, and we also have, you know, because we don't have our own personal families, or there are times of solitude. And so to find that, but at the heart of what unites them is what you're saying, which is that somewhere I have to be more and more powerfully aware that I'm never really alone, and that to nourish that beautiful relationship with the Lord, as well as my sense of connectedness with others that isn't just simply dependent on being physically present. And all of these are ways of saying that it's going to be a long, slow, steady growth and development of all of our relationships, and just allowing them to deepen. Because although we are physical beings, we are also spiritual, and we have a spiritual connection that is going to be necessary, more than just the physical connections that we have being physically present. And so I hope that helps, and I know that you can grow up in a large family and still struggle with loneliness, and it's got to be something that's going on the inside, and we need to try to discover, well, what am I doing? Am I putting up any blocks? You know, and try to find out what those are. Start with the most personal things. One of the dangers to avoid, which I don't hear in you at all, but could be that we start to say, well, nobody likes me, and people don't ever reach out to me, and I try, you know, and there's a danger there, because we need to look maybe first to what our own inner blocks are, and then see if we can begin to work with those.
Thank you for your advice. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Nice to have you on the program. Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director, talking about loneliness and friendship today. Toll free if you'd like to join us on the program, 877-766-3777. And we were talking during the break, Monsignor, about married couples. And a lot of people, you made the comment, think, well, I'll get married, I won't be lonely anymore. I mean, the reality is that loneliness is part of the deal when you're married. And I think sometimes we don't think that it should be, but it is, isn't it?
It is. And I talk to people, again, who are married and who are lonely. And it helps to maybe appreciate that there's a special quality to the marital relationship that ideally has a lot of friendship-like qualities, but it's not identical with friendship. Because I think in marriage, there's also a lot of tensions that don't exist in friendships. It's about stuff that really matters, you know, at the end of the day, but there's going to be tensions over children, how to raise them, tensions, you know, anytime there's a intimate sexual relationship, there's going to be some tensions and things there. There's going to be money questions, you know, just all the big stuff, the household, all those things, which can allow some other elements to enter into what should ideally be a beautiful friendship between the spouses, but it's just the human condition. There's going to be a lot of factors, and that's why it's still important to have other friends and others to work with and depend on in a deep relationship with God. It's just not fair to ask one other person on the planet to completely fulfill all your needs, and only God can ultimately do that, and He's going to ask us to receive His gifts through many different ways.
Yeah, and as you are talking about friendships and marriage, I'm just reminded of my wife Judy and I have literally traveled and just been incredibly close to two other married couples for probably more than 30 years now. And well, more than 30. It's probably almost, 35. But it's interesting that we are incredibly what I would describe as true friends. 5 years ago, John, my best friend, he died. And so now Sally is by herself. The other gentleman, another John, he's living with Parkinson's. And so we've traveled with each other, literally on vacations and things like that, but just on the journey of life, the good stuff, the really hard stuff. But they've been there in the good times and in the bad times. And as you were talking about somebody who will hold you accountable, I'm reminded of the story, and I've probably shared it a time or two on the program over the course of now almost 9 years of The Inner Life. But I just remember one night many, many years ago that Judy and I, we were just really fighting about something. And I'm always a big believer in married couples fighting because you're fighting for each other. But we were in an argument, and we went over to one of their homes, and we were sitting in their living room, and the other two couples knew that there wasn't something right about us, and they sat there and asked us what was going on. And it was really interesting that we literally turned to each other and we fought. We argued in front of them and in front of ourselves, and it was so intense. Judy got so upset with me, she stood up and ran out of the house, out to the car. And I sat back and looked at our friends with kind of this expression on my face that said, I won. and they looked at me. They didn't say a word. They just kind of raised their eyebrows and kind of lifted their hands to say, you need to go outside and continue the fight. Amen. And so I got up and did that.
And we
healed the hurt. But if it wasn't for our friends challenging us and calling us to something more, we'd probably still be fighting, you know, after all these years. But that's what friends are for, right?
Right. Amen. That's a remarkable story about good friendships. And again, good friends will console and encourage, but they'll also say, hey, enough of that. I see what you're doing. Don't do that. Do this, you know. And there's a beautiful line from Sirach that occurs to me as you're saying this story. You know, the faithful friend is a sure shelter, and whoever finds one has found a rare treasure. A faithful friend is something beyond price. No measuring is their worth. A faithful friend is the elixir of life, and those who fear the Lord will find one. And whoever fears the Lord makes true friends, for as a man is, so are his friends. Mm-hmm. So a deep, kind of that two-way street again of just growing in holiness and acquiring friends and helping them to help us grow in holiness, and deeper and richer our life is meant to become, all under the great sovereignty of our beautiful and wonderful God and Father.
Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation, loneliness and friendship today. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 877-766-3777. We'll take a short break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
holy.
You're joining us on the program today. Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director, Monsignor Pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church in Washington, D.C., talking today about loneliness and friendship. And who are those friends in your life who walk with you? And you know what? The reality is, I'm going to share an email with you about friendship here in just a second. But it's difficult to find friends. Maybe you might look at yourself as someone with no friends. But who are those friends that walk with you and challenge you and call you to live the life that God wants you to live? Toll free if you'd like to tell us your story, 877-766-3777. And before we get to this email, just a note about the University of Mary. You know, with the University of Mary's year-round campus program, students can earn their bachelor's degree in 2.6 years. That's 2.6 years. That, of course, is less time, less cost, less debt. Come see how the University of Mary is proving that less can be more with its new year-round campus program, and you can schedule a visit at cometomary.com. That's cometomary.com. Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director, and an email for you, Monsignor, and our emailer says, I appreciate what you're sharing, Monsignor, about loneliness and life is to be lived in community, but it brings to mind the sorrow I feel for my older brother, who lives in a long-term care facility with schizophrenia, and he has no friends. He has family who love and care for him, but he feels abandoned by God and so lonely, asking us to pray for him. His name is Terry. And bless you, wishing you a blessed Easter is her closing remark. But, gosh, that's tough, isn't it?
It is, and it rings true. I had my sister, Mary Ann, was mentally ill, and she died at age 30. But she had the similar struggle, and I do think that in life we sometimes encounter that we can't always fix everyone's problems. God, who could, doesn't, and he has his reasons, and this gets back more to, I guess, the theology of suffering. But I know this, I know this is going to sound a little bit funny, but there's one of the things we can learn from dogs. And that is to say, when someone's having a difficult time, don't talk a lot. Just sit close by and nudge them gently. Sometimes the best we can do is to just make visits with somebody, as I often did with my sister, and just kind of sit close by and not say a whole lot. And but there's going to when my sister finally did die. As I said, in her 30s. I was praying one day the Mass for her, and I got a very profound sense from her. She said to me, in effect, Charlie, I'm okay now. I'm okay. And she could have never said that in this life. And I know this, that God will have a very, very beautiful, and now he does have a very, very beautiful place for her in heaven. I'll probably have to get an appointment to see her in heaven. We ought to remember that there are going to be times where it's difficult for people to engage in friendships. You know, mental illness is one of those things. That part that we most relate with others, our mind and our heart, are damaged by mental illness. And I think the best we can do is just the best we can do, and we have to continue to pray. But know this, that I can't wait to meet my sister unencumbered one day in heaven. I just pray to be faithful to get there. And I'll meet my sister, and God has always known her.
Wow. I always find it so providential that our emailer would email that in today and speak very directly to a situation in your own life. It's just amazing. Was there a point, Monsignor, when you wanted to fix your sister, when you wanted her not to be lonely, when you were trying to do everything you could do to maybe try and make that better?
I did. I think we all struggled with Marianne, and we had some, you know, kind of family counseling that helped us a little bit, though, and that said that again, she would try to draw us into her world. Her only way to relate to us would be to draw her into her world, which was very, very twisted by mental illness and full of dark imagery and struggles and dreams. And we were cautioned to kind of keep boundaries, be kind and friendly, but firm not to go there. And so there are just some limits that we have to be sometimes firm and clear. So it was helpful to have that counseling because, again, you want to fix. We all want to fix. But God sometimes says, well, I'm going to fix it, but in a deeper, richer way than you could ever imagine. I know his feeling about feeling dejected and forgotten and abandoned by God is, I think of some of the dark passages of St. Therese of Lisieux, who struggled to believe in her last couple of years, and Mother, Mother Teresa, soon to be canonized. People have dark passages, and God permits them for a reason. But something, he's up to something beautiful if they stay the course. And I just hope that we can pray for Terry and that there will be a beautiful resolution on the other side of old Jordan Stream when he makes the crossing, that God will finally say, you see, I was up to something beautiful.
Yeah. Can I ask you to maybe comment? I'm taken with our emailers. Brings to mind the sorrow I feel for my older brother. And I'm just wondering about the sorrow, because sometimes I think when we have these feelings that we don't really want to have, that we want to run from them, we want to reject them. But is this a time maybe for our emailer, really for any of us, when we have these sorrowful moments, to walk maybe a bit more deeply into that and recognize that we're not alone in that?
Right. Yeah, and so sorrow and grief are, we always want to get around them, but we have to go through them. They have a meaning and a purpose in our life. They're speaking to us of our love for not just individuals, but also our love for what is good and true and beautiful. And we see that limited or marred or in some way hindered in a person's life. There is a place for sorrow. And the Lord experienced great, great sorrow. Sorrow is a beautiful sign of love and commitment to others and to the truth. And it's kind of an assignment that the Lord gives us at times, and there's just no way around it. We have to experience it, but again, not alone. That's the idea, to try to walk with somebody. And St. Thomas gives all kinds of things to do about sorrow, including even the taking of warm baths. I'm going to soothe the body, but at the end of the day, to cry and to speak to others and to form good friendships. St. Thomas advises all these things in the Summa when it comes to dealing with grief.
Well, thanks to our emailer. God bless you, and you can rest assured that Monsignor, as well as myself and a whole lot of people, praying for your brother, Terry. So thanks for the email. We appreciate that a lot. Just a few minutes left in our program. Monsignor Charles Pope is our spiritual director today, talking about loneliness and friendship. And Monsignor, just wonder if maybe we could talk a little bit during this Holy Week, as we enter into the great mysteries and the great celebration of this week. Jesus in the garden.
Yeah.
I just meditate about this a lot, especially this week, but sweating blood, I always envision him that he's just crushed by the weight of our sins and sweating blood. And his friends, they're asleep. And I just can't even imagine the loneliness that our Lord experienced.
Yeah. Loneliness, a mental anguish. This is where our Lord really took that part of the passion on him, that what we would call mental anguish and grief and loneliness. And the physical suffering certainly came at the cross itself, but this is that mental anguish and grief. I spent substantial time praying when I went to the Holy Land there at the Rock, where tradition says Lord was, and because I'd gone through a terrible passage in my middle 30s with anguish and grief and anxiety, and oh my gosh, I felt so configured to our Lord in the garden at that moment. Regarding his friends, my father had an expression, and it gets back kind of to what our first caller was saying, that we have to also accept that friendship is a wonderful thing, but human beings are limited, they're fallible, and they cannot supply or take the place of God. But my father had an expression. He said, "Charlie," he said, "people disappoint." And our Lord certainly knew that about us. And yet he chose to engage these 12 especially very close friends, along with a good number of women and others who accompanied the apostolic band, and to be very, very close to them. I think of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I think of so many, Magdalene and others, and as well as the 12. And but at some point, he too experienced this experience of loneliness or discouragement, or that people do disappoint. And although he knew what Judas would do, clearly, the awful sense of betrayal. And Judas, you betray me with a kiss? So all of these things, we have to accept that this is part of the course of friendships and things, that even our closest friends, even spouses and sons and daughters and other people we thought, they let us down. And but that's part of the course of friendship, and it's part of the price. And we should never allow the solution to that, to become a rock or an island, as that old song of Simon and Garfunkel said, you know, an island never cries, you know, and so on. A rock is, you know, but we can, that's not the solution. The solution is to stay in these relationships and be vulnerable and accept that there's going to be disappointments, but there's also going to be wonderful moments like you were describing earlier, Chuck, where you had friends that called you to account and were there at a moment of crisis and helped you to do the right thing.
Well, and I wonder in just the couple of minutes we have left with you today, Monsignor, if there's a challenge in all of this for us, because aren't we, all of us in some way or another, don't we have that friend that maybe we've fallen asleep? Maybe we are not the friend that we need to be, that in what we're talking about today, the challenge for us to be able to go back and to forgive or to mend the fences or to reengage in those friendships. What I presume the answer is yes, we should do that, but what can we do?
Yeah, again, reaching out and reconnecting is always a beautiful opportunity, and it depends a little on how the other person reacts and given the circumstances, but it is certainly for us, too. We don't have friendships just for our own sake and enrichment. We have them for others. I remember a priest years ago, I was a member of a support group, saying, my gosh, if you won't come for yourself, at least come for the rest of us. And so I said, ooh, that was an interesting rebuke. And so I became more committed, you know, and tried to make sure I was there. And there's some priest friends I get together with every week or our day off, and we're very committed to that. We try to not let too much get in the way of that, because it's not just for my sake that I have them, those friends, but it's somehow I'm part of their enrichment as well. And it's all, again, that two-way street that we call relationships.
Yeah. Well, and then just that, the importance of community, the importance of, what do we call it, church?
Mm-hmm.
We do, don't we? And that's why, that's part of why we do what we do.
Yes. Yeah. And that beautiful word in Greek, koinonia, is so much more than just, you know, I know people's first names and we, you know, are kind of chummy. But it's, again, koinonia is a deep kind of rich experience of community where there's reciprocity and mutual dependence and people are doing what they're required to do, but also receiving what they need.
Monsignor Charles Pope, our spiritual director on the program today. Great insights, and really appreciate your time today. Monsignor, time to wrap things up, and we'd like to close this hour with a final blessing for all of our listeners.
Lord, all who listen, we've somehow formed a community just here now by shared thinking together on you and the nature of friendship and also the sorrow of loneliness. But Lord, although help us then to know that the beautiful experience of oneness and community on a radio show has to be now enriched by going to those we're closest to and reestablishing. So help us, Lord, to let go of any hurts. Help us to take the risk of friendship and relationship, and help us to avoid loneliness by turning to you and helping us to find you also in others. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Monsignor Charles Pope joining us today. Stay tuned. Go Ask Your Father up next.
The Inner Life is a production of Relevant Radio. One.